Thank God for His mercy. What did His mercy do for you? Come on, what did it do for you? Aren't you glad to know where you used to be? Aren't you glad that He lifted you up? Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. That's what His mercy did for me. Hallelujah. But for His grace and mercy, where would we be today? Amen. Do you love Jesus with all your heart, your mind, your soul? Let Him know it this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Join with me and welcome all of our visitors this morning. We're so glad that you come to worship the Lord with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. Got any saved folks in the house?
Praise God.
Got any sanctified folks in the house? Amen. Got any folks that's planning on going to heaven when you die? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My, my, my. God is so gracious. Amen. We love Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate you being here this morning. Our hearts and minds, thoughts go out to the so many are suffering this morning. So a lot of sickness, a lot of affliction. We do remember them in our prayers, but we're so glad that you're able to be here. Good to see each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles this morning, we just want to get right into the Word of God. Thank God for the praise and worship this morning, for the choir, the wonderful songs of worship and praise and mercy. Let us never, ever forget what Christ's mercy did for us. Amen. Because He lives. Amen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. How about you? Glory to God. Whatever tomorrow is, it doesn't matter. Amen. As long as He lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank God He lives within me. From the book of Ephesians this morning, I want to focus our attention on chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 14. Ephesians chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 14. Amen. When you get there, just say, praise the Lord. Amen. Reading from God's holy word. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Say that with me, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love and thank You this morning, God, for Your grace, for Your mercy, for the opportunity to come into the house to worship this morning. God, thank You for each and every soul that's come. God, every home that is represented this morning. And Father, we do pray for those who are sick, those who are afflicted today, those who have requested prayer. Pray, God, that You would minister unto their needs. I ask now that the Holy Ghost would lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, in the way that You would have us to go. Father, I pray that You would anoint these lips of clay. God, just use this vessel, God, as an opportunity to speak to us this morning, that You would have us to hear, that we might be submissive, that we might be obedient to Your will, God, and to Your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would just take charge of this service in a mighty way. We'll look to You to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor, tell them how much you love them, and you may be seated. Don't tell them your life story. Just tell them how much you love them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, Plugged In. I want you to think about that, plugged in. Leastways, that's what God told me to do it this week. He told me to plug in. And before I finish this message this morning, I hope that we can all be plugged in. Amen. You know, we don't have much power if we keep unplugging or don't stay plugged up. But I want to start this morning with something that I read, and bear with me because I believe that it will tie into this morning's message. During the Civil War, a Union soldier from Ohio was shot in the arm during the Battle of Shiloh. His captain saw he was wounded and barked out an order, "Give me your gun, private, and get to the rear." The private handed over his rifle and ran toward the north, seeking safety. But after only going about 200 or 300 yards, he came upon another skirmish. So he ran to the east and found himself in another part of the battle. Then he ran west, but encountered more fighting there. Finally, he ran back to the front line, shouting, "Give me back my rifle, Captain. There ain't no rear to this battle nowhere." When it comes to the troubles of the world, life is unfair. And there ain't no rear to this battle nowhere. When it comes to living, you just can't run away and hide. You must remain plugged in. Plugged in basically means connected, in touch, and aware. There are several key components to being plugged in, and I want to share those with you today. But the main thought that I want us to understand is there ain't no rear in this battle. There is no opportune time to retreat. Can I tell you that we're facing an enemy that is giving us everything that he has to come against us? And we must be vigilant. We must be ready. We must be equipped with the power of the Holy Ghost, and we must stay plugged in. Plugged into the power of God. Plugged into the riches of God. Plugged in order to retain the strength and the initiative and the inner man, the inner soul that is within us, to be spiritually equipped to fight the devil and the things that are coming against the world today. I probably don't need to remind you that Christians are under attack. Amen. We're constantly under attack. It's a time when seemingly it is unpopular, amen, if not even dangerous, to declare that we are born again Christians. And can I tell you, there ain't no retreat, there ain't no rear in this battle. We can't run and hide just because we're a Christian. We can't keep it hid because the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is not going to remain hid. How many remembers growing up in church and seeing people who were filled with the power of God? They could not contain themselves. They began to shout for joy. They began to lift their hands in praise and honor to God. I'm telling you, folks, we are on the battlefield, but we're on the battlefield because we are going to win, because our captain is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's never lost a battle, and he never will lose a battle, and we must remain plugged in, amen, in order to stay strong for the Lord. I was channel surfing yesterday, in fact, later on last night, and I couldn't seem to find anything that I really wanted to watch over 5 minutes, and so I didn't even watch that long and flipped again, and after continually going through everything that the channels offered, I began to go back, and hopefully I missed something and would find something, and finally I just decided to turn it to the local news, and when I flipped it over to the local news, it was not on. There was a boxing match on. I don't know when I have watched an entire boxing match. I'll watch parts of it, and then I'll be just kind of moved to go somewhere else, or I'll flip back and forth. It's kind of like a professional basketball game. If you'll just tune in to the last 2 minutes, you ain't missed a thing. Because they're going to run up and down the court to the last 2 minutes, and one of them going to win. I'll go into overtime, so I'll just tune in to the last 2 minutes to watch the excitement. But something intrigued me, and I have no idea until this morning when I was in my study and I began to contemplate and prepare for today's message, and I began to think about the boxing match that I saw last night. And y'all bear with me this morning. I'm not a sportscaster, nor am I trying to be, but if you'll bear with me this morning, I want to bring a point to you. I flipped this on, and they were announcing the champion, and I believe he had won 22 straight bouts without a single defeat. I thought that was pretty remarkable.
in the very fact, because having 22 fights and not losing one. So then they announced the challenger, and the challenger was certainly out to dethrone the champion. And they began to, you know, how they begin to formulate their plans and how they begin to tell you what they think is going to happen, and that the champion's probably not going to have any problem whatsoever with this, with challenger, because of his expertise, because of his style, because of his strength, because of his preparation. And also, it pretty much sounded like the announcers were handing the battle to the champion before it ever even started. And for the first three rounds, it looked like that was exactly what was going to happen. The champion came out. He was sharp. He was fast. He was online. He was punching. And then he would come with a right hook, and then he would jab some more. And it seemed like most of the punches were finding his way through the defense or through the gloves of the challenger. And somewhere around the third or fourth round, the challenger happened to drop his guard, and the champion hit him with a left hook that sent the challenger to his knees, and it looked like that he was going to be down. In fact, he was down for the count. He was on his knees, and they began to count, and when they got to about eight, the bell rung. So the champion was not able to finish the fight. He was not able to go ahead and win the fight. So they went to their corners, and then they came out, and then something changed in the champion. He began to, instead of fighting a very aggressive fight, instead of being the one who was going toward the challenger, he began to fight in a defensive stature, in a defensive stance. And he began to dance around a little bit, and he began to try to, I guess, his plan was to try to tire the challenger out so that he could come back with his knockout punch for whatever reason. But this didn't do anything but encourage the challenger. And the challenger became more energetic, and he became more aggressive, and he began to be the one on offense. He began to take the fight to the champion. He began to approach him, and the champion would dance around. He would go to the rings, and he would try to fight off the blows of the challenger. Then the challenger became very, very aggressive and began to throw what I would call roundhouses and haymakers. I mean, he was just swinging, kind of like we fought on the playground when we was little. You know, you'd swing, and hardly anybody ever got hit, maybe on the shoulders a little bit, but he was just swinging, and all of a sudden some of those roundhouses began to connect with the champion, and it began to rock him, and they showed a close-up, and he had kind of a dazed look. His eyes looked a little glassy, and you could tell that he was hurt from this particular punch. And the challenger kept coming in and swinging, and some of those for every four or five that he would swing, maybe one would connect. So and this happened, and then of course the bell rung, and his trainer began to talk to him, said, you know, you got to go back to boxing and this, that, and the other. And then he came back out, and instead of going back to the techniques that he started with, the champion began to get on the same level as the challenger, and he began to swing, and he began to punch, and it was just kind of a nip and tug there for all the middle rounds, and it seemed like it was just a complete draw. It seemed like when one would hit the other, when the other would hit him back, and it seemed like they lost all technique whatsoever. And then finally, somewhere along about around the ninth round, it was scheduled for 12, the trainer got right in the face of the champion, and he was rubbing him down, and he said, go back to boxing. You can win this match if you'll go back to boxing. You know, pay attention, do what got you here, go back to boxing. So then evidently it began to register with the champion. So when they came back out, he looked like he was fresh again. He looked like he did in the first three rounds. He began to go in, he began to jab, and most of those jabs were going right through the defense of the challenger, and then he would follow it up with either an uppercut or a right hook, and he continued to do that. He began to be the aggressor. He began to go on the offense rather than the defense, and all of a sudden the challenger quit throwing haymakers. He quit swinging wildly. He was on the defense, and constantly he was holding his gloves up, and the champion was able to get way ahead on points because he had more and more punches that connected. And they finally went to 12 rounds, and the champion did not win because of a knockout. He won because of points, and because he went back on the offense. There ain't no rear in this battle. There ain't no time nor place to retreat. The time of retreating, the time of being passive, the time of trying to be the one who is not the aggressor is long gone. Because I want to tell you today, the challenger, which is our adversary, has been emboldened. He is beginning to throw haymakers. He's beginning to throw roundhouses. And he's beginning to make contact on the church world today and on Christians today. And the reason that he is doing that is not because he's any stronger, not because he's any greater, but because we have gone on the defense. We're trying to defend why we're born again. We're trying to defend why we attend church. We're trying to defend why that we believe that life is precious, even up to the time of being born. We're trying to be defensive over everything that we preach. We're trying to be defensive over everything that we believe. And let me tell you something, it has gotten us on the run. But I'm telling you, just as the soldier says, "Give me back my rifle," there is no rear to this battle. And just as the champion said, "I can't get on the level with a challenger. I must come against him with what I got." And it's not my power, but it is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the power that I have plugged into years and years ago. It is the power that has caused me to be on the offense and not run and hide every time there's a battle or every time there's a skirmish. I got news for you. There ain't no rear in this battle. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We must remain plugged in. We must remain powered up. We must remain on fire. We better be equipped with the power of God. We better be equipped with the Word of God and take the initiative and begin to be on the offense, because it's time to put the devil on the run. And the only way we can do it is through the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of Jesus Christ. There ain't no retreat, folks. The time of retreating is over. We must advance. Can I tell you that the church, and when I speak of the church, please be reminded, I'm not talking about this local assembly. I'm talking about the church that the local assembly is a part of. Let me tell you about the church. It's mighty through God. Let me tell you about the church. There's no room for backbiting and gossiping. Let me tell you about the church. The church is on fire. Let me tell you about the church. The church is born again. Let me tell you about the church. We raise the banner. The banner is the blood-stained cross of Calvary. Amen. Not anything that we've done, but everything that Jesus done. Let me tell you something else about the church. The church will never be defeated. The church will be on fire as long as we remain true to our captain, which is Jesus Christ. We got to remain vigilant. We got to remain strong. We got to remain powerful. We got to advance. We can't retreat. There ain't no retreat in this battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. No, we've apologized too long. Come on. Hallelujah. And all that does is embolden the enemy. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about my enemy. My enemy doesn't understand anything but authority and power. Glory to God that David knew that. That's the reason he didn't come with spear or sword. He came in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, if you're going to remain plugged in, get ready for a battle. But you'll be ready as long as you're plugged in to the power of God and the anointing of God. Who can stand against the anointing of God? There's not enough demons in hell that can overcome the anointing power of God. And the Lord told us, "I will give you power after that you have received the Holy Ghost. Power to tread on serpents. Power to take ground back that you have lost." Amen. Brother Eddie, I don't think we've lost. Yes, we have. I'm going to tell you something. Church world today has lost precious ground, amen, that it once was overcome by the church, amen. It was once retaken. We have lost heels. We have lost territories. We have lost ground to Satan. Every time we allow Satan to get the upper hand, we take a step back. Church, it's time to quit walking backwards. It's time to go forward in the name of the Lord. It's time to be bold, not in our name, not in our ability, but bold in the power of God. Hallelujah. Brother, you sound mad. I am mad. Man, I tried not being mad with the devil. That don't work. Tell you something else, it don't work. That whole world's hollering at compromise. No, it don't work. You can't compromise with some evil spirit that doesn't want to compromise you. It wants to overtake you. It wants to consume you. It wants to fill you with bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. But the power that I'm plugged into teaches me love and joy and peace and long suffering. That's what we must be equipped with. Hallelujah. You got to be plugged in. Glory to God. I thought about some of the most powerful apparatus that there is today. Ain't worth nothing if it ain't plugged in. Come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just had a recent opportunity to replace my golf cart with six absolutely powerful, I even like the name of them, Trojan batteries. But you know what they said? Make sure you charge them up. Let me tell you something. Doesn't matter what the church building looks like. Doesn't matter if the floors are carpeted or hardwood. Doesn't matter if it's air conditioned and central heated. It doesn't matter if you're packing 5,000 into it. It doesn't matter anything except whether or not it has been charged up. And the only way the church can be charged is to remain plugged in to the power source. Amen. It ain't First Pentecostal. It ain't Pastor Eddie. But you must be plugged in to Jesus Christ, because that's the only power, that's the only anointing, that's the only strength that's going to see you through this battle. And let me remind you again and again, there ain't no retreat in this battle. There ain't no rear in this battle. We got to go forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't just merely plug up and think you're going to run the rest of your life on one blessing. Or one sermon. Or one scripture reading. You must remain plugged in. Hallelujah. You must remain connected. You must remain in touch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must remain aware. Bible says watch and pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jab, 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 hook, jab, 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 uppercut. Amen. It was amazing when the champion got back to the basics. Read, study, fast, read, study, fast, love one another, pray for one another, amen, seek His will, seek His guidance, pray for His will, not ours. You'll be amazed how powerful your ministry will become. You'll be amazed how powerful your walk in Christ will become if you remain plugged in to the power source. And let me tell you something, the power source will never run out of power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Why? Why plugged in? Why plugged in? Because if you don't remain plugged in, man, you get weak. Glory to God. Who likes your cell phones? Nobody? Why you got them? How many like your cell phones? Don't be ashamed of it. Come on, raise both hands if you got two. I mean, aren't they nice? Aren't they convenient?
Yes, they are.
Some, aren't they pretty? Aren't they addicted? Convenient, half, yeah. But you know what? How many plugs them in at night? You don't want to get caught with that cell phone going down. You'll make sure that thing's powered up. I plugged mine up too. God spoke to me. Now you plugged your phone up. Are you plugged in? And he didn't quit talking there. He said, why did you plug your cell phone up before you plugged into me? Now, cell phone ain't going to send you to hell. Don't you think about that. But sometimes we're more concerned about keeping our battery charged on our cell phone than we are spiritually battery charged with God. So I rethought that. And I said, Lord, you know what? It'd probably be a good idea if I prayed and got in touch with you ever before I plugged my cell phone back in. He said, you think? Well, he didn't really say it like that, but that's what I thought. You think? What's your priorities? What's most important in your life? Why do you feel weak, anemic, run down, spiritually untouched with God, spiritually like a whole world's against you and like you're doing nothing but trying to cover up to prevent the blows of Satan to hit you time and time again? May I suggest you haven't been plugged into the power source that you need to be plugged in. You need to be the aggressor. You need to be the one going forward. You don't need to retreat to Satan. Amen. Greater is he that is within you than he that's coming against you. You're greater. You're more powerful with the power of God that is within you. It's time that we remain plugged in. It's time that we use that power source, amen, for the furtherance of the gospel, amen, for the power of God, not for our self-recognition, not to build ourselves up, because I'm plugged in, because I know sooner or later I'm going to be facing a battle. It may be going good right now, but the devil won't allow that to happen. He'll come against you, but I got news for you. He's going to lose the battle because I'm going to be plugged in. I'm going to be plugged into the power of God. I'm going to come against him with everything that God allows me to come against him with. Hallelujah. And there are many advantages, amen, and benefits from remaining plugged in. I have a plug-in at the campsite. I have a plug-in in the bedroom. I'm not talking about an outlet. I'm talking about a power cord. I've got one in my TV room. I've got one in my van. I've got one in my truck. Brother Eddie, why you got so many power cords? Because I have been caught without a charged up battery, and it's not pleasant. Amen. Brother Eddie, why do you keep so many Bibles laying around? Because I've been caught sometime, and I wasn't plugged in, and the battle was hard, and the battle was rough, and I was on the defense. So I don't want to get caught in that situation again. I don't want to be on the defense. I don't want to stand helpless. I don't want to apologize. I want to go forward in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to keep the word close to me everywhere that I go. And I'm going to put the word on the tables of my heart so that I can remain plugged in. Can I remind you that there ain't no rear in this battle? He ran to the north. There was a skirmish. He ran to the east. There was an intense battle. He ran to the west. And finally he goes back and he says, give me back my rifle. There ain't no rear in this battle. I'm looking for saints of God. I said, Pastor, give me back my ministry. There ain't no rear in this battle. Pastor, give me something to do. There ain't no rear in this battle. Lord, bless me and anoint me to go forward, because there ain't no retreat in me. I've retreated long enough. I'm not taking a step backward. I'm going forward in the name of Jesus. Well, glory. Hallelujah. If you ain't plugged in, you better get plugged in. And if you don't stay plugged in, you better stay plugged in. Hallelujah. You may think you can charge up one time in the last 6 months. I can't do it. I can't do it. I want to plug up even when my battery's still registering high. Glory to God. Daddy used to have a saying. I said, Daddy, I can't eat no more. I'm not hungry right now. He said, eat to keep from getting hungry. Think about it. I don't want to pray right now. Pray anyway. I ain't got time to read right now. You find time. Hallelujah. What are the benefits? The Apostle Paul began to write them down. The importance of being plugged in. To be strengthened in the inner man. Now, why would he be specifically stating the inner man? It's because the flesh has nothing to do with it. You can thank you to man all day long, but if it ain't in you, come on, you ain't going to stand long. Let me tell you, if you already found it out, the flesh is weak. It's weak. Amen. So rather than fortifying our flesh, we need to fortify that spirit that is within us. The Apostle Paul said you can do that when you're plugged in. Amen. You can do that when you seek the power of God. When you ask God to be first and foremost in your life, not just to be a part of your life. A lot of people want God in their life, they just don't want Him at the head of the list. God doesn't want that. He said, I'm going to be the head of the list. And He said, if you'll seek Me first in My kingdom, all these other things I'll add unto you. So one of the benefits and the importance of being plugged in is to be re-strengthened and remain strong in the inner man, the soul of man. That is what's going to get you through these troubles and trials, man. That'll want to get you on your knees when your flesh says, I don't really feel like it. And your spirit says, no. You got to understand, they ain't no rear in this battle. Glory to God. There ain't no retreat, amen, in the mission that we are to live for the Lord. Secondly, that faith may dwell in your hearts. Not the brightest bulb in the fixture. I've been accused of being a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. But I do understand, amen, that we must have faith in order to please God. The Bible states that. And faith is nothing that needs to be picked up and put down like a tool, or some folks said like a spare tire. You keep it back there in the trunk, it's never seen, it's never used until you need it. But I do know that the word dwell means to remain. Where's your dwelling place? Well, that's where I live. That's where I remain. That's where my wife lets me come in at night. And sneak quietly down to my television room. Because that's where I dwell. Don't just go home just when I'm hungry or just when I have a need. Go home because that's where I dwell. That if you want to remain plugged in, let that faith dwell in you. Because I got news for you. You don't know when the battle's coming. You don't know when the affliction is going to rise. You don't know when there's going to be tribulation or turmoil. But if that faith dwells in you, you ain't got to run to the church to get it. You haven't got to fall on your knees to get it because you've already got it. It dwells within your heart. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, His faith dwells in me when you remain plugged in. To be rooted and grounded. You got any electricians in the building? Got any people that likes to work with something that'll kill you? A lot of power. You know what somebody wrote in my year of my annual and my senior annual? Somebody said a live wire never gets stepped on. You tired of getting stepped on? Get plugged up. Let that power source flow through you. I'm not an electrician, but I understand there's something to be said for to being grounded. Correct? There is a power source that flows through the Christian, but that Christian must remain rooted and grounded, not in their ideology, not in their personal opinion, but rooted and grounded in the Almighty Word of God. And there is power that surges through you, power that will help you be an overcomer rather than a victim. But you must be rooted and grounded. Amen. To remain plugged in. You must be able to comprehend God's greatness. Amen. Paul put it this way, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you see God's greatness. And therefore you glorify Him for that. You do not say, "Whew, man, that was lucky." You say, "Thank God for your blessing." Amen. You don't say, "Man, that's a great choice I just made." Thank God for your counseling. Amen. Praise God, I found something in the medicine cabinet that'll help. I ain't against medicine, but thank God you let me have it in the medicine cabinet. Come on. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I thank God for ibuprofen. Man, ibuprofen don't work. God will give me buffering. There's so many blessings that God never gets blessed for. Amen. All these things, all these remedies, all these professionals, these doctors, all, thank God for them. Amen. They couldn't do a thing without God. I want to comprehend His greatness. I want to see Him in every facet of my life. I want to wake up in the morning with gratitude and with thankfulness. God, You've given me another day. I want to thank Him for the opportunity to gather together with the saints of God to pray and anoint one another and lift one another up. I want to be able to comprehend His greatness in everything that I see Him do. But you got to remain plugged in. Oh, yeah. To know the love of Christ. If you're plugged in and you really, honestly, sincerely know and have experienced the love of Christ, how dare you ever say, "Nobody loves me"? Let me tell you something. If everybody on the face of this earth hated me, I know somebody that loves me. And I'd rather have His love than the love of the world anytime. To be able to know the love of Christ, not just about His love, not just how He loves someone else, but that intimate love that I have received by the infilling of His Spirit, to have Him with me everywhere that I go. But I got to remain plugged in contact, in touch, and aware. Finally, to be filled. To be filled. Is that full? Full. I think I know why my good ministers and those that help me prepare don't fill that cup completely full. So I would probably never shut up if I had that much water to drink. I'm not sure that's what it is, man. But if I'm facing a battle, and that's my spiritual relationship right there. Yeah, it'd get me started, but it ain't full. And let me tell you something. Some of us, when it gets full, even that's when we quit. But I was raised in a church, and they used to sing, "It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul." And they talked about when it's full, it overflows. And what happens when it overflows? It spills out on somebody else who's maybe not as full as they need to be. You see, I grew up in a church where it was kind of like wildfire. You know how you start a wildfire? With a little spark. Have I got any sparks in the congregation? I guarantee you, we get enough sparks going, it'll burn some old wet wood. It'll burn some people that ain't shouted in years. It'll burn folks, amen, that only been operating on half full for a long time. They only plug in every once in a while just when they need the power of God. But you give me a congregation that comes in already plugged in, already in contact, already in touch with Almighty God, you'll see revival. You'll see healing. You'll see anointing. You'll see deliverance. You'll see victory. My Lord, you'll see things going to God that God can work through a people who are plugged in to His Spirit to be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's all right. You can be filled with the fullness of God and still not explode. See, I just got a visual effect in my mind where those mosquitoes are biting those people that's eating that hot sauce. Sometimes there's just commercials that just really strike my fancy. And when that mosquito bites down on that arm and that guy's eating that hot sauce and he flies off, he just goes... That has never happened to a Holy Ghost filled saint that's so full of the power of God. Amen. You may glow, but you won't explode. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may bubble over on somebody when you're full. Hallelujah. Can I remind you? I know I've said it several times. I may tell you on the way out today. I may tell you Wednesday night. I may tell myself when I look in the mirror. I may tell myself tonight when I plug my cell phone in, have you plugged into God yet? Can I tell you? Captain, give me back my rifle. There ain't no retreat in this battle anywhere. There ain't no retreat. There ain't no retreat. I'll fight wounded. I'll fight bruised. I'll fight with hurt feelings. I'll fight when I don't feel like it. Not because of me, but because of the prize that is set before me. And because I know who my captain is. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Say it with me this morning. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed.